up in the morning with Boomer. Picture that. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford. They're not in the business of selling cars. They're selling a way to get your luggage and the family dog to the next hockey tournament. Universal Ford Lincoln, it starts with you.
You think Derek Wills has had a Sudbury Saturday night? He's from that area. Hey? Only one way to find out.
Wills in the Morning is brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. You drive Calgary's hardest working vehicle. Show off your clunker for a chance to win $5,000 cash during the first big deal event at Varsity Chrysler. Shop where Geo shops, varsitychrysler.com.
You ever spend a Saturday night in Sudbury there, Willsy?
I've never spent any day or night in Sudbury.
Oh, jeez.
There's a giant nickel there, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I know Todd Bertuzzi played hockey there. Beyond that, I can't tell you much. Who else was a Sudbury Wolf?
That makes two of us.
Who are well-known Sudbury Wolves?
Some famous Sudbury Wolves? I played in the Western
Wasn't Tom Hockey Wilson League? Of the Washington Capitals? Wasn't he a recent draft out of the Sudbury Wolves program?
Don Beaupre? Derek Armstrong? Jason Bonsignor? All Sudbury Wolves!
Jason Bonsignor, great Oiler.
Wow.
Great Oiler pick.
For the longest time, he was the highest pick in Oilers history, number four, right?
That's right.
Yuck.
And a dub.
He liked to go dirt bike racing more than he liked to play hockey.
Yeah.
That's an Oilers pick.
There you go. How tired are you of Philadelphia? You've been there for about a week.
You know what? It's a pretty good city. I'm not tired of it yet, but I look forward to getting to Boston. Haven't really spent much time there. So Philadelphia's been good to us. I mean, they've got a pretty good transit system here. As a matter of fact, Lou and I just walked off the subway and are on our way over to the rink right now. And it's got a great complex here with the football stadium, the baseball stadium, and the hockey basketball arena. So it's a pretty neat place to spend a few days.
So take me through your day yesterday. Obviously, we talked to you in the morning. We knew that the team was going to practice, then the deadline. I guess, tell us how your day went.
Yeah, so we got up fairly early yesterday morning and wanted to hang out in the lobby of the hotel just to see what I would see, and didn't see much, truth be told. Talked to you guys, and then right after that, we ended up jumping into a cab and heading to University of Pennsylvania, a class of 1923 rink, and I learned that it was actually built in 1923, although it felt like it. Look like it. So then we go there, and of course, then the Hartley cell phone gate happens. Bob Hartley gets on the cell phone a couple of times. We later found out that the call that he got was indeed from General Manager Brad Treliving, so it wasn't some sort of hoax or him trying to play a joke on the media. And then he made a phone call to someone. I'm not sure who that call was to. And then shortly after he got off the phone for the second time, he pulls Dennis Weidman aside and has a fairly lengthy conversation. It looked a little contentious, I'm not going to lie. And then Weidman stayed on the ice. So I had a tweet ready to go to say Weidman had a chat with Hartley and has left the ice. But he didn't leave the ice, so I deleted that tweet. Some others, I think, ended up setting that out, and that led to some more controversy, for lack of a better word. So after that, we got in another cab and raced over to Wells Fargo Center for media availability and got a chance to chat with the guys. And then after that, got on the subway, went back to our team hotel and just hung around for a few hours and waited for something to happen. And of course, right at the last minute, we found out that Sven Bergi got moved for a second round pick and then did availability with Brad Treliving. And that was it. Then I went to work out to relieve some stress.
So how hot is Lou? Because we've got a clip from yesterday, him with Steinberg there, and not too impressed with old Steiny.
Weidman was the guy he wasn't too impressed with, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to pass on that question.
Oh.
You might want to ask. Yeah, you might want to ask the two guys involved.
Well, you can give him credit for that. From your cozy studio, you can give him credit for that for sure.
All right, so you don't want to. We'll talk.
No,
to you.
I don't.
We'll talk to you tomorrow, Lou. You're a good man.
Wow. That's good radio. I heard about it, but that's the first time I've actually heard the clip. So
yeah, if there is a Dennis Weidman fan club, I don't know that Lou's a charter member.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Weidman or not, but, you know, Dennis is a bit of a joker, and I've learned that this season, and I actually quite like Dennis. I know a lot of people are rubbed the wrong way by him, but he is who he is, and you either like him or you don't, and he's not going to change for anybody. So I actually kind of admire Dennis, and once I saw him stay on the ice, I figured he was probably trying to yank our chain yesterday, so... good for him. He pulled one over on a few people, that's for sure.
Let's start with the Berchi deal off to Vancouver for a second-round pick. I don't know that people saw this one coming, although behind the scenes, obviously, with the trade request made by Sven, it was very much front of mind.
Yeah, you know what? I thought he would probably move at the deadline. I didn't know all of the information that Brad Treliving shared with us yesterday, but I thought he might be part of a bigger package, where they sent a pick or potentially a roster player with Sven to another team for maybe help on defense or help up front. But he ends up going to Vancouver, and they waited until the last minute. So I'm sure they were probably trying to put a bigger deal together. But as the GM told us yesterday, there just wasn't one that worked out for them price-wise. And prices were sky-high yesterday. But I think that Brad did quite well getting a second-round pick for Sven. I think it's good for Sven that he gets a fresh start with a new organization who will maybe look at him a little bit differently. He's still a very talented player and a guy who was drafted in the first round, and I still think he has the potential to play in the National Hockey League. But I think it has to be as a top six and as a stretch, a top nine guy, and I'm not sure he was going to play that role under Bob Hartley here. So I think good for the Canucks. They get a pretty good prospect in return for a second-round pick, although they don't have many picks left in this year's draft. And for the Flames, I think it was a really good return for Berchi.
Just following up on Sven, what were your final viewings of him like? Because it sounded like in a lot of people's mind he'd turn the corner and maybe embrace that bottom six role in recent call-ups, and yet there the Flames were down the stretch calling up the likes of David Wolf and Michael Ferland and Emile Poirier ahead of him.
Yeah, you know what? I would agree with you, Ryan. I do think he turned the corner this season. I think he became a more mature person, both as an athlete and a human being. And I think really the test for him was the last time he got sent down and how he would handle that. Well, he went down and he played really well for the Adirondack Flames. And I've been told by a few people he was probably their best player. So I think that says a lot about how Sven has matured. I know in the past he's kind of sulked after getting sent down, but clearly that wasn't the case last time around. He went down maybe with a chip on his shoulder and played some pretty good hockey, so good for him. So I thought that he did have a future in the National Hockey League, but some guys just need a change. They need to go to a new organization. They need a fresh start, and I think that will be the case for Sven. I'm not saying that you're going to see him in the Canucks lineup between now and the end of the season, although I wouldn't be shocked to see him get a chance to play at the NHL level again this year, but you know, he's a guy who I still think in the next couple of years, as long as he's a restricted guy and decides to stay in North America, has the potential to play in the NHL. But, yeah, I do think he kind of turned the corner this year, but maybe this just wasn't the best fit for him anymore.
One of the things that we haven't spent a lot of time talking about that took place yesterday, the recall of Drew Shore from Adirondack.
Mm-hmm.
He has that one more – he can play one more NHL game before he becomes waiver eligible. Is this now – Is the shifting gears? Is he now going to be a regular? Or how do you see this working out?
Well, guys, one of the things I have to check on this morning, and I'm going to ask as soon as I see a hockey operations person, whether it be the general manager or one of the assistant general managers, the timing of his recall. Because if he was not on the Adirondack Flames roster as of 3 o'clock yesterday, he is not eligible to play any more games for that team for the remainder of the regular season or the postseason, which means that he's here to stay. So assuming he was not on their roster at 3 o'clock, and we do know that there were three guys that were sent down, at least on paper, Michael Ferland, Emile Poirier, and one more guy.
Tyler Wotherspoon?
Yes, Tyler Wotherspoon, who actually did leave the hotel yesterday. We saw him show up in the middle of the afternoon, and then we saw him walk out again. So I think he just had trouble getting out with some of the bad weather that was kind of hitting this part of the world. So we'll have to check on the timing of his recall. If he wasn't on that roster at 3 p.m., then he's here. And that game probably is a moot point because he won't be able to play in the American Hockey League this season. But I suspect that they're probably ready to give this guy a shot at playing in the National Hockey League and give him some games. And I'm anxious to see him. And from some of the things that I've read the last 24 hours or so, there were quite a few teams interested in Drew Shore at the NHL trade deadline. So he's a guy that it sounds like other teams see some value in.
What do you expect to see the defense pairings looking like with David Schlemko now arriving? And, you know, obviously we saw Englund and Brody against the Islanders. What do we expect tonight?
Great question. And I'll, of course, update you guys as soon as I see the pairings at the morning skate. But if I had to guess, I think you leave Chris Russell and Dennis Wideman together. They've been together the whole season, and I do think that counts for something. I would probably put David Schlemko with DJ Brody. Schlemko is a guy who's played over 200 games in the National Hockey League. He's played top 4 minutes at times this season for the Coyotes, and Brad Treliving thinks pretty highly of him. And so does Chris Russell, who's a former teammate of his in the Western Hockey League. So I'd probably try him there. Now, Bob Hartley has been known to kind of mix things up depending on the situation, although those defense pairings, for the most part, when everybody was healthy, stayed the same for quite some time. But you might see him mix it up just to give Schlemko a bit of a break. Obviously, he's not used to playing 18, 19, 20 minutes, and I think that Brody is probably going to start playing even more minutes than he was already playing this season, which is just under 25. So might have to kind of slowly work him in, but I'd probably try Schlemko there. And then Diaz and Engelin would be my third pairing. At least then you've got two pairings in Russell and Wideman and Diaz and Engelin who have played together this season. And asking Rafa Diaz and TJ Brody and Dennis Wideman and Chris Russell about the importance of having some chemistry with your defense partner, they all said that it's quite important. You learn to read off each other. You figure out where the guy's going to be and how he's going to handle a certain situation. So I think it'd be great if they could leave those guys together and then put Brody and Schlemko together, or even potentially Tyler Wotherspoon down the line if they decide to give him a chance.
We'll be watching and listening. It's a 5 o'clock start, which is great. 4 o'clock warm-up. We'll be ready for it. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Will's in the Morning is brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Do you drive Calgary's hardest working vehicle? Show off your clunker for a chance to win $5,000 cash during the first big deal event at Varsity Chrysler. Shop where Geo shops, varsitychrysler.com.
It's 8:18. Coming up at 8:45, we'll do what you want to talk about. But I do need to go to the text line. So before you take off to do whatever you need to do during a commercial break, received a text a little bit earlier, and I wanted to investigate, so I did, and I want to share this. This is from someone on our fan feedback line. On this game day against Philly, I am reminded of a quiet piece of Flames history. I believe it was the 04 season when the Flames were trying to obtain respect in the league. They went into big bad Philly, and it was a big scrap between Rhett Warner and some guy from Philly that made a statement that Calgary was not going to be pushed around. The rest of the 04 season speaks for itself. They don't have stats for that kind of stuff. Go Flames. So I looked up the game sheet. December 16th, 2003, prior to the trade deadline, the Mika Kiprusoff, all of that. It was in the second period when Rhett Warner drew an instigator, a 5-minute fighting major, and a 10-minute misconduct, engaging one Keith Primo of the Philadelphia Flyers.
A 10?
2, 5, and a 10. That was at the second period.
He kept punching Dono in the head.
You guys would have been down 2-1 on goals by Roenick and LeClaire. Aginla had his ninth. To the third period we go, and Dean McCammon would tie it. In overtime, McCammon gets the winner, his seventh of the season at 3:33. You were clearly an inspiration for your team.
Keith Primo jumped Dean McCammon from behind, and Rhett Warner didn't like it.
Yeah, Warner came right in from the blue line. That doesn't happen often, and Warner gives away a little bit of height to Keith Primo here, but give him a lot of credit for jumping in for his teammate here.
Primo's taken a lot of liberties in the second period, and Warner's cut him with a punch in the cheek as they go to the ice. And Rhett Warner has given the Flames a lot of necessary ingredients this season, and one of them is the ability to not take it anymore, and he didn't take it from Keith Primo.
didn't take it.
Here's how it's going to start. It's off a save. This is a bit of a rush by Marty Gillen and Dee McCammon, and then the whole group comes together here, and Primo gives a couple of the Flames a shot, and that's what brought in Rhett Warner from the blue line.
Eric Weinrich actually was the man that hammered McCammon from behind, gave him a sucker punch, and that's how it all started. And sooner or later, you knew that perhaps somebody from the Flames would have had enough, and it was Rhett Warner.
It's really after Weinrich got the wrong.
Hey.
That game's the best game. That was the one that was.
Well, yeah, it says
regular season hockey game. It was awesome.
2-1 Philly. You tied it in the third, won it in OT.
Who scored in OT?
Dean McCammon, the guy to whose aid you came.
I thought it was Donovan, but anyway.
Kobasu with the assist. Donovan assisted on the game tying goal in the third.
Mm-hmm.
So 2003.
Didn't Roenick and Chris Clark fight in that game?
Yes. Clark got at the no. It's at he well Clark 6:14 got a double minor for roughing, then took a slashing penalty in the second, and then finally dropped the mitts with Roenick.
Clark was wound up.
Hanzus ran the goaltender. Leo holding the stick. What a goon. But how about that?
How about it?
Rick Mercer was starting the Rick Mercer report, and you were cutting Keith Primo on his cheek.
Take that.
That's right. That's why he's here, folks. That's why. Good stuff. We'll be back. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Morning Hockey Talk with Boomer. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Heave-hi-ho, the best man in Ottawa was Maharaj Joe.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford. They're not in the business of selling cars. They're selling a way to get your luggage and the family dog to the next hockey tournament. Universal Ford Lincoln, it starts with you.
We have what you want to talk about coming up in the next segment. Doing some... doing the shell game, moving some things around, changing a few things. So usually 9:45, now 8:45 for your favorite, what you want to talk about.
How's that going to go?
We'll see. You just never know. Right now, we check in with one of our NHL insiders.
Sportsnet 960 Hockey Insider Eric Dehatchuk is brought to you by Eastside Kia. The 2015 Sorento Clearout event is on. Get discounts up to $5,000. Plus, choose a no-charge one-year maintenance or remote starter. Eastside Kia, Arlo and 23rd, or eastsidekia.ca.
Hello, Eric Dehatchuk. How are things?
No, not too bad. A little busy yesterday, though.
Well, could have been busier. Things got busy after I got off the air. 6 hours, yeah. 6.5 hours, and then finally trades start happening.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, NHL. I want to start with Sven Berchi. We have talked a lot about Sven, where he fits, does he fit, with Jay Feaster and Brent Sutter, then with Treliving and Bob Hartley. Never found a spot.
Yeah, and I think the risk in trading him is, to me, the best comparison is what happened with Nino Niederreiter, another Swiss player who was going through the exact same thing that Berchi went through, which is that, the Islanders wanted him to develop at a regular rate, the Detroit Red Wings model, which is, put a guy in the minors and wait until he's overripe, and when he's ready to come up, he's ready to come up, right? So Detroit has used that model. It's worked with Gustav Nyquist. It's worked with Thomas Tatar, who's had a breakout year. The Islanders tried it with Niederreiter, and the exact same thing that happened with Berchi happened with Niederreiter. He chafed that last year in the minors, basically demanded a trade, said that he wouldn't continue to play for them, and ultimately they ended up trading him to Minnesota in the deal for Cal Clutterbuck, and I think there was something else in it. And in Minnesota, I think he's up to 20 goals this year. Now, right place, right time, because he probably was readier to play in the NHL when Minnesota got him, and, he seems like a decent NHL player, and I really think that Berchi has a chance to be the same guy that But I don't put any blame on the organization because they were trying to do the right thing by him. So why is it that both these guys were so impatient? Well, all young players are impatient. I mean, Sam Bennett desperately wanted to be on the NHL roster this year, and ultimately they said, no, you know, it doesn't hurt, it doesn't help your long-term development to be here, to hit the ground running in the middle of a playoff race. Go back to Kingston, develop, you know, find the pace of the game again after missing the whole year, and we'll see a training camp next year. And it's not like they you know, I mean, teams want their players to succeed, right? They don't want them to fail. I mean, you don't want your players to fail. So I think what they were doing with Berchi was they were saying, you know, you're not ready yet, but at some point you will become ready. And he got impatient and forced their hand, essentially. And so I think they got the best deal they could for him under the circumstances.
Well, I know there were some that were, if not confused, then maybe a little upset that they traded him for a second. He was a first-round pick. But upon finding out that he and his agent had basically asked out, said they weren't going to re-sign, I guess people are a little bit more happy with the return. Let me ask you this, like, and you already kind of answered it.
Yeah.
Should the team have given him more of an opportunity? Did they give him a fair shake in your mind?
I think so, yeah, because I think that what happens in the National Hockey League? I mean, it's a competition for your job every day. I mean, it's the ultimate Darwinian test, you know. And again, you know, if he had been the best forward in the organization, he would be on the NHL roster. You know, this organization, what's been the motto all year? You know, always earned, never given, right? I mean, I think that's fair. You know, guys like, you know, Devin Setoguchi didn't earn a job that, you know, we haven't seen him in months. And so I think that in his situation, he was not one of the top guys ready to play in the National Hockey League. And it may well be, I mean, you know, the little bit I saw of Emile Poirier looks ahead of Berchi to me right now. You know, again, we just saw glimpses of him. He looks like a real good player. And, you know, and came in a later draft, also a first rounder, but looks like a guy that, you know, in my mind, if I'm projecting, you know, next year's roster, you know, I would have probably had Poirier ahead of Berchi. Could change, you know. I mean, Josh Juris won a spot on the roster out of training camp when he wasn't even on anybody's horizon. And now, you know, you guys were talking in the last segment about Drew Shore. It'll be interesting to see where they're at with him and if they, you know, if they give him, you know, a 20 game trial at the NHL level. Bottom line is that if he had been ready, if he had been a player that they felt was going to contribute offensively to them, I think he would have been in the lineup. I mean, the offense has dried up in the last little while, and I actually thought that they might have a look at this guy at some point in the final quarter of the season, just because of that, because it looks like they're going to need a little bit of scoring if they want to stay in the playoff race. But I think what you're asking, the second part of your question is that good value for him, and is that enough? And maybe the comparison is, how did Boston, or how did Tampa get two second-round picks for Brett Connolly when Calgary could only get one for Sven Berchi? Well, I'm sure it wasn't for a lack of trying. I mean, if they had this demand from Berchi's agent, I think that, you know, lots of teams, and every team in the National Hockey League would have been aware that he was available, and probably would have understood that they were in a bidding competition of some form, and clearly this was the best return that they could get for him. So, and I guess the only other question is, you know, would you have taken that asset and tried to turn it into, say, a James Wisniewski? You know, because if you look at what Anaheim gave up to get Wisniewski out of Columbus. Essentially, they gave up one of their top prospects, William Karlsson, the Swedish center that I think a lot of people think is going to play in the National Hockey League. And then it was, you know, a little bit of salary back for Columbus, and then a second for a third-round pick. So the rest of it is essentially window dressing. Anaheim got probably the best defenseman that got traded yesterday, second or third best defenseman that got traded at the trade deadline. Yandel is obviously the best. But Wisniewski is a guy that has some of those Giordano elements, right? I mean, you know, not huge, but, you know, good puck-moving skills. He probably could have seamlessly slid him into the lineup, right, and put him with Brody and not had to alter the other defense pairs. And then, you know, I mean, he's signed for two more years, pretty big number. But Calgary can afford that number if they'd like the player enough. And maybe you could have got that asset for for Berchi and, you know, maybe another swap of picks. But ultimately, what did they decide? You know, they decided that they want they would prefer to have the picks. They prefer to either draft this summer or see what the value of those picks is closer to the time of the draft. And, you know, we won't know whether that's the, you know, the right choice until the smoke clears from, you know, the rest of the season and who they get in the draft and, you know, can they flip those picks? And then are those guys NHL players? I mean, you know, we'll be talking about this transaction for 3 to 5 years down the road.
Yeah. I mean, for me, quickly, if I would not, I'd have taken the second round pick and just done the deal like they did. If Mark Giordano is healthy and there's no lost season in the balance, then it's like, well, what if we then add James Wisniewski with Giordano and with Brody, and we've now got Schlemko? To me, it's a different conversation. And maybe I'm just a negative Nelly, but I just feel like the loss of Giordano just spells the end of the season.
Feels like it, you know, it feels like it. And I think that, you know, that the one thing that, like, you know, that Bob Hartley in the dressing room this morning is going to say, you know, on the radio in Calgary this morning, they're talking about a lost season. And the newspapers in Calgary, they're talking about a lost season. You guys who are healthy and in the room, you go out there and prove to them they're wrong. You know, at the start of the season, those same guys that that are having this conversation said, you have no chance of making the playoffs. And you know, as of this morning, we are technically still in a playoff spot. So, you know, and they'll play that us against the World Cup. That's what I would do, too. You know, I mean, you know, that's I think that's the correct motivational strategy. And then, you know, it's our job to sit back and analyze it and say, wow, I don't know. I don't see how you can replace him. Just in terms of everything that he brings, I mean, it's leadership that he brings. It's the fact that so much of when the offense was rolling here, you know, it was created by the defense. That was a model that worked here and worked in Nashville. And a lot of other teams were having, you know, poor seasons because they didn't have the kind of offense that they were getting from the defense. So, you know, you can't replace his defense. You can't replace his scoring. And you can't replace his leadership. I mean, that's, you know, like, pick one from each column, right? And so I'm with you. You know, the rational part of me that gets paid to be an analyst says this is an uphill battle. And I thought, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I thought they had a legitimate chance of making the playoffs, and I suggested that they would make the playoffs. But, you know, you lose a player like Mark Giordano, it just changes the whole equation. And the other thing is that, you know, San Jose last night finally looked like a team. I'm very interested to see where they are going forward, because you saw what happened on Monday, right? They had a practice scheduled and they canceled it, and Joe Pavelski took everybody out for lunch, and it sounded like they just hashed everything out, and then they came back and they played very, very well against a real good Montreal Canadiens team. It'll be interesting to see if that's like a watershed moment in the season for the Sharks. Could be, and if San Jose gets its act together, you know, that will make it even harder for Calgary to hang on to that last spot.
In a nutshell, good enough from the Flames' point of view? I mean, you could do more, you could do, and time will tell, I guess. But with the team and the situation they're in, a passing grade, or what?
Absolutely. No, because, again, you know, like how many times, I guess I had Brad Treeling on the air, like, what, 5,000 times in the last week, and eventually he always came back to, we can't lose sight of the big picture. We can't lose sight. Every time I talk to him, he says the same thing. And actually, I'm saying it back to him, too. You can't lose sight of the big picture. And so you can get fooled, and you can get seduced, and you can waver off of that path. And so, you know, as I say, you know, in the next day or two, everybody's going to, you know, catch their breath and look, and they're going to say, wow, did they ever get a lot for Curtis Glencross? That's the one thing. I mean, I talk to general managers all the time. First of all, the one thing that they were saying, you know, in the days leading up to the trade deadline, and then yesterday again, can't believe the prices that the sellers got. In fact, I you know, my temptation would have been to say, you know, I've got a few more players on contracts here that I wouldn't mind moving out right now, because suddenly people are giving value for players, and this might be the only time I ever get it. So to get, I think that was one of the best deals in terms of, you know, player out, value in, the picks that they got for Curtis Glencross. And I think a lot of people around the National Hockey League rate it that way too. You know, in terms of Berchi, I think you probably got the maximum that you could out of there. So you've got six picks in the top three rounds. You know, depending on where Calgary finishes, that could be, you know, if they miss the playoffs, it's six picks in the top 75 of what's supposed to be a good draft. If you can have a great draft, I mean, if you can have a great draft, Calgary had a draft in 1984 where they got Roberts, Ranheim, and Suter, and they restocked the franchise and set it on the right course for 10 years. And potentially you could have that kind of draft with the number of picks that you've got this year and the quality of young player that's available. So, again, hard to, you know, to extrapolate what those picks are going to look like down the road, because there's a possibility. I know he said this publicly, so it's not, you know, sharing anything that's not there. But, you know, they could potentially flip those picks for assets in the summer, that the value of draft choices increases the closer you get to the draft. And on the draft floor, when somebody's sitting there with a guy that they love and you've got the second round pick that they can get it, sometimes you can get a good asset that you can plug right into your lineup in exchange for that pick, because somebody's in love with a player and you've got the pick that will allow them to get it. So again, it's still a work in progress, and it seems to be heading in the right direction. And this is a bad roadblock in terms of you know, has a chance to derail a season that's been very positive. And I guess we'll just sort of see how it plays out in this next, you know, you have to go game by game and week by week. Once they get back from this Breyer trip, it'll be interesting to see if they're still in a playoff spot. If they are, I'm pretty sure that all those motivational things that I suggested that they would be uttering, they may actually start to be believing them themselves.
Last one from me. Heard a lot yesterday as deals were going down about the tank job being done by Buffalo and Phoenix. I just don't buy it. That, to me, that's a team in a terrible situation, selling off assets to get better. I don't think the Sabres are any better than they've shown, nor are the Coyotes. I mean, do you feel like there is a tank job being done by the general managers?
Well, it's both. I mean, it's a strategic plan, but it also, in part of the strategic plan, is to be as bad as you can be. You know, especially in the case of Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo has gone out of its way to trade the two goaltenders at a point in their seasons when they were playing really well. Now, I get that they were their future unrestricted free agents. Who is going to 10 goal in Buffalo next year? That's the one part that, of the equation that that gets me. I guess they're going to go into the market and see if they can find somebody. But they have stripped themselves down to the bone, and it does bother me a little bit to see how flagrant it is. I said in print, and probably to you guys too, that tanking has to be like a passive strategy. You cannot actively, like Ron Wilson says, you know, said yesterday on the air, which was very interesting, you know, go to a coach or go to players and say, guys, we don't want you to win that game. You put young players in the lineup, they're going to be motivated to play hard. You know, they may surprisingly win games for you. So there's no guarantee no matter who you put in the lineup, that you're going to necessarily lose games. That was what Ron Wilson said on the air. I couldn't believe it. You know, he said, you know, sometimes it's harder to lose games than it is to win games. But the reality is, if you have substandard goaltending, that is the one way that you can be pretty sure you're not going to win very, very many games. It will be interesting to see, because Chad Johnson on the air, I thought, was pretty good about it. You know, he's going to a bad situation, but for him, this is an opportunity. You know, they don't like the other guy, Anders Lindback, hasn't been good all year. So I think Chad Johnson's going to get a chance to play, and he wants an opportunity to establish himself as a National Hockey League goaltender. He's going to use the last quarter of the season to prove to the Buffalo Sabres that he's capable of doing that. And there have been times in his career when he has showed that he has been an NHL goaltender. So, you know, it'll be very interesting to see how he plays. But, yeah, I do think that they're, you know, that they are tacitly suggesting that, you know, that, you know, we're just not trying very hard this year, because we want to get McDavid and we want to get Eichel. And, in an industry where the integrity of the competition is really important, to strip yourself as bare as they have, that just smacks of something that's wrong as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you, Eric. We will talk to you Thursday.
Thank you.
Sportsnet 960 Hockey Insider Eric Dehatchuk is brought to you by Eastside Kia. The 2015 Sereno Clearout event is on. Get discounts up to $5,000. Plus, choose a no-charge one-year maintenance or remote starter. Eastside Kia, Barlow and 23rd, or eastsidekia.ca.
It is now 8:46. When we come back, we'll do what you want to talk about. If this is a new thing to you, fan feedback line, 960-960 mobile phone. If we have missed something, if we're completely wrong about something, if we've neglected to bring something up, this is your opportunity to have your say with what you want to talk about. It's coming up next. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer talking sports in the morning. Text him now at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This here next song is a story about the fellow was hitchhiking away down in southern Nevada. Along come this big, long truck loaded down with potatoes. And the trucker put on the air brakes and pulled over to the side and said, "Jump in, son." throw in your bag and the one you're carrying. And he said, where all you been, son? Well, he said, I've been everywhere, man, and that's the name of this one. I was hitchhiking down along the dusty when a mucker load.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. They're not in the business of selling cars. They're selling a way to get your kids' hockey team to practice. Universal Ford Lincoln, it starts with you.
The cab. I climbed into the
cab. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand. I said, listen,
buddy. Because I believe it was Hank Snow who did the original. But this would be the Stompin' Tom twist.
Across the desert, spear man, I breathe the mountains here, man, I travel, I've done my steer, man, I've been everywhere.
And here it comes.
Where you been, he says. Oh, let me see now, a couple of places. Then Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Windsor, South Dakota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Matamala, Oklahoma, Durango, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Manitoba, Warren, Calama, Delaware, McKellar, I've been everywhere, man.
It is 8:54.
Montreal and Calgary,
yeah.
Hartford and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, thanks, Kel. Thanks, Kirsch.
Is that right, he says, after
all? All right, we better get in. We got about six, seven minutes at this point for, it's an old segment, but it's new to this time slot. We'll get into it. We'll tell you all about it. It's what you want to talk about.
Talk about.
Talk about.
Talk about. He's mad about something.
Yeah, just hang on before we start.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Do you drive Calgary's hardest working vehicle? Show off your clunker for a chance to win $5,000 cash during the first big deal event at Varsity Chrysler. Shop where Geo shops, varsitychrysler.com.
All right, so here's the deal. What you want to talk about now at 8:45, although it's 8:55, but we're moving it. Little change to the program. The Boomer and Warner in the Morning Show concludes at 9 a.m. And the new and improved and the first edition of the Ryan Pinder Show starts at 9 o'clock today.
Don't believe it's called that.
The Ryan Pinder Show from 9 till 10, weekday mornings.
Featuring Peter Klein.
On Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Ryan Huska, 9 o'clock, and we got Snow Show at 9:20.
Good stuff. There you go. So everybody that's been firing through your text, that's what's going on. That is what's happening. Giordano goes down and you guys throw the rest of the team and their playoff aspirations out the window. Shameful. Here's hoping bed bugs descend upon your underoos.
It's
a little harsh.
That's drastic, isn't it?
It's not being negative.
So you're telling me that just you're going to slot
Schlemko
in for 27 minutes a night, and what's he got? 20 games left. So if you and about 20 points, what he's going to do.
No,
sorry.
Over the next 20 games, it's 27 plus 20.
He might not get 20 points in the next 20 seasons.
Shout out to the Piranhas Men's League hockey team, 0-26-1 on the year, 308 goals against. Good luck in the playoffs. I agree.
You just need to get some hot goaltending and you're good.
Yeah, all you need is Giordano and you'll be great. I'm going on record saying I'm in, they're in. Wide Dog steps up big time. That's from Keith.
Oof, he's going to have to be bigger than big.
Keith is absolutely hammered right now at 8:57. Just, he's at the Briar, didn't leave the patch. He's been there all night. Just gunned. Not to gloat, but I've won 6 free coffees and 2 donuts. You're allowed to substitute, you know. Cheers.
Doesn't sound like gloating at all.
Listen, I tried to substitute the other day.
Shut up!
Yeah. I tried to substitute the stupid donut for a coffee. I'm sorry, it's got to be a donut. But I don't want a donut. Well, it's got to be a donut.
I'll take the donut.
So you know what I did? So I took the coffee and I threw it in his face. He was screaming, and then I drove away.
Was this the nice fellow that asked you how your day
was
at 4 a.m.?
Old PEI boy, good on yous. There you go. Please mention the Jordan Leopold letter. Did you hear about the Jordan Leopold letter?
My wife is friends with Leopold's wife. I know all about the letter. I've heard daughter, enough about this damn letter.
Daughter sent a letter to the Minnesota Wild and said, my daddy is in Columbus.
He's one
and way. I'm in our family and his daughters and brothers, sisters. Next. We're all in Minnesota. Could you please trade for whoever, Jordan. Leopold?
He's one way.
And they did. So there you go. Boomer, does this mean you're off early? I wouldn't say early. It's just my schedule's been
well. You're starting
altered.
Earlier.
I'm starting at five.
Which means you're.
I'm starting at 5:30.
Which means you're
done at 9.
And rest in peace.
What's off. That, Boom?
Done at 9.
What are you talking about, Boom?
The Ryan Pinder show starts at 9, so I need to get out of here.
30 seconds. We got a countdown.
Fire Pinder, you just ruined the 9 o'clock hour. So essentially, this is the first step in firing Boomer. I never thought about that.
Well that's the first thing I thought it was.
Slowly.
Huh. Everyone's getting canned.
Yeah, we're just going to have you reapply for your own job. Yeah.
Thank you guys for yesterday. You worked 6.5 hours. We're involved in a car chase where you chased your own cars. Intense phone call drama, all while never missing a trade. Yeah, we almost got our vehicle towed.
Never mind the whole Wide Dog How's Hartley
that?
Episode.
We were parked out here, and it's like, if anybody's parked in front of the old chop house, you're going to get your vehicles towed because NMAX needs to do something.
They just showed up, started towing people.
Yeah.
Didn't have any signs or anything.
Them sons.
I parked there yesterday morning.
You're lucky you were
I was
at
gone.
9, and we were here till
Seriously.
Noon. Mr. Plow, after
and
you
And so
again.
What were they going to do with your car? And you would have paid for the towing and a ticket.
Yeah, probably.
And to get it out of...
Yeah, impound, yeah. So, Boomer is going to work less? I can't say I'm surprised. I don't know why.
Well, that you're
going to
work less. You just have less on-air time.
Sven was post-Apex, space-hungry, and has a high internal furnace and high hockey IQ, signed John Weisbrod.
Well, that's intellectual honesty.
There you go. Did Boomer negotiate working an hour less and use Toronto as leverage? It's not an hour less. I'm starting a half hour early.
Voice is getting better.
Are you slowly being eased off, Boom?
He's got a bad
There's a chance.
He's got a bad voice.
This is BS. Pinder gets his own show. That's crap. Shut up, Pinder.
It's an hour. Settle down. Same stuff that's happening.
I just spent 30 minutes watching Rhett Warner clips on YouTube. I'm going to get fired. You have 30 minutes of YouTube footage?
I was going to say, that seems...
A lot off the glass and out for 30 minutes.
Pinder sucks. Pinder, you rock.
If you can find the Warner Odgers, that's a real dandy.
Ooh. Maybe we'll play that in the 9. It's the new the Pinder Circus. We could play that kind of stuff.
It's very short and sweet.
That's good.
Good thing we got another third rounder so we can trade for more guys like Bowling. Okay, we'll end it there. That's what you want to talk about for
what
today.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Do you drive Calgary's hardest working vehicle? Show off your clunker for a chance to win $5,000 cash during the first big deal event at Varsity Chrysler. Shop where Geo shops, varsitychrysler.com.
There you go. That'll do it for today. The Ryan Pinder Show coming up. Reminder, all of our guests join us on the Lube City Mobile One Sportsnet hotline. Lube City Express oil change featuring Mobile One. Warranty approved. A change for the better. Ryan Huska, head coach of the Adirondack Flames, coming up with Ryan next, Sports at 960, The Fan.